Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends. Welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. You just heard one of my favorite gospel singers, Miss Mahalia Jackson, quite possibly the most angelic, melodious voice that was ever in existence. And I played this song especially today as we commemorate the birthday of the great martyred civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that's why I'm able to do a show at 11 o'clock today due to the fact that I am off work for the holiday. I have not been before you since the new year came in due to some changes in my schedule. The past few Sunday afternoons, I've been having a combination of scout meetings for my son and interviews for prospective Vanderbilt students, as well as another program my son is in on Sunday afternoons during the time that the show normally airs. So that's why I've been, hopefully by the end of this month, I will be able to return to Sunday afternoon shows. They'll probably be a little earlier in the afternoon than 5:30, more like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So hopefully I will be able to work that out. But it certainly is a pleasure to be here with you today. So since the new year has come in, I have been fortunate to see the film Selma, which is a chronicle of the legendary civil rights march from Selma to Montgomery to the Capitol in advocacy for voting rights for African-American citizens, black citizens, in the state of Alabama, and which obviously led to the Voting Rights Act being signed by then-President Lyndon B. Johnson for those same rights and principles to apply across the nation. If you have not seen the film, I certainly would encourage you to see the film and take somebody with you, or take people with you. It really, truly does give a fascinating, a remarkable depiction of what these very brave and courageous, selfless individuals put themselves through, endured, tortured, suffered for the benefit of those who would come after them, who would succeed them. And so I took my, so I saw it twice, actually. I saw it on opening weekend with my companion, and I took my son last night. So, again, it's just important to realize, especially for the younger generation, my generation is one generation removed from the civil rights era, and my son's generation is two removed. So, of course, as we go further out, it begins to seem less and less real, even more of surreal in a way, because it's not a part of their immediate life in which they're living. But the reality is today we are still facing many civil rights issues and social justice causes, one of which I'm going to address a little later, the law enforcement attacks on unarmed young black males, and you know, as well as some other very, very serious matters that we have before us still pertaining to racial inequality and racial injustices. So our people of influence for the week would basically be anyone and everyone who has ever taken a part in or taken a stand for causes of justice and righteousness and equality and fairness. And then it's particularly those who have done so on the biblical principles that Jesus Christ iterates in his ministry and mission here on earth. Because, of course, we know that our Lord God is no respecter of persons. And so this is just basic human dignity and decency and what individuals should be entitled to as, you know, citizens of this society. So that goes for those during that civil rights era as well as those today who make an effort to stay informed and to voice their objections about certain situations that are just unfair and unjust. And, you know, you can certainly tap into that through your church and through other community organizations that support these kinds of efforts. So I want to give some praises. You know, we are 3 weeks into the new year, and God is good. You know, I have had a great new year thus far. Things are definitely looking up in terms of what I desire and endeavor to do this year, should the Lord provide those resources and those avenues. So I've made some plans, and I'm excited about the plans going forth according to the Lord's will. You know, I'm very optimistic about my son, and as he finishes out his first year of high school, his freshman year. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to really, you know, making some strides in some areas of my life that need attention. So I just thank God for that. I thank God for seeing another year and what's ahead for me. I want to send up prayer requests for those who may be, you know, having illnesses or suffering through certain conditions, health conditions that are compromised. I ask that those who listen to the show regularly or have listened on occasion, you know the situation with my mother, a recovering stroke, I don't want to use the word victim, but stroke patient, Just continue to pray for her as she goes back into rehabilitation, and pray for also just the general dose. I have church members who are dealing with some very serious medical conditions, and just pray for those who have lost, those families who have lost their children and their loved ones to hate crimes in the street, that they would be assured and reminded that truly the Lord God hears their cries and is comforting their woes, and that he is going to avenge the wrongs and the evil that has taken place in those situations in his due time. Let's have prayer. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done and given us, and how you have shown so much love and so much grace and mercy and compassion on so many for so many years, Lord. You have helped people to withstand and to maintain against some of the most vicious, violent, brutal attacks, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your protection of those individuals who are seeking to gain access to basic rights and basic needs and desires according to constitutional indicators, Father God. I just ask, Lord, that you continue to uphold us and strengthen us and unify us as Christian people of all colors, races, and creeds, Lord, that your word would give us inspiration and would give us the hope that we need to endure the future challenges and adversity that we face, the enemy, the opposition, the adversary, is not going to let up, Father God, because we know that the war is truly a spiritual war between good and evil. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And I want to go over some scripture verses at this time that talk about equality and justice, because we do serve a just God. Hallelujah. And it is so critical to note that we, again, the whole premise of the civil rights movement of the 1960s with all the various marches and protests and objections that were voiced is a nonviolent approach, nonviolent methods and strategies. And the justice on an earthly level was, of course, the implementation of these laws that would be fair and equal across the board for all people. Now, on a spiritual level, the justice was so much greater and deeper and broader, because the Lord certainly, you know, his wrath about these kinds of situations were poured out upon those who perpetuated and exacerbated those conditions. But, you know, I do believe that in the end days, that final, you know, wrath is poured down, and those who have stood against the truth of the Lord and stood against righteousness and piety and fair and just principles will also have to face repercussions that the Father doles out. But Proverbs 21:15, when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Amos 5:24, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I believe that Dr. King used that particular scripture verse or some variation of it in one of his speeches. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So I believe that the primary activists and individuals participating in the nonviolent civil rights protests, it's so amazing to me how they were able to, in spite of the malicious and aggressive and uncivilized and barbaric antipathy and antagonizing forces they faced, they kept the focus and the concentration on the ultimate objective to obtain the equal rights and the fair practices and the fair principles. And, you know, they could have easily given into the emotional side of it in wanting to retaliate and wanting to avenge these injustices on a personal level. But because they stood united and they stood collectively for just what was right and what was proper in the sense of what they were trying to achieve or gain, you know, God's favor just enveloped that entire movement. And those who are in my generation, of course, are not directly a part of the movement. But many of us are very familiar and aware from historical studies and research what it all entailed. And there are some things that we can just never know unless we were actually a part of that. I had the privilege of meeting Congressman John Lewis, I believe in 2005 or 2006, at the Freedom Awards Forum here in Memphis, and I was able to get a picture, a photograph taken with him. But you know, there's really no way to fully, in words, capture or describe what these individuals experienced and faced. And let me just say something about, because I'm going to read some statistics here in a few minutes that you may not know regarding the civil rights marches and the various events and activities that took place. There were several other types of demonstrations, of course, the Freedom Rides and so forth. But, you know, by now most people are aware of Dr. King's transgressions, if you will, regarding infidelity in his marriage. I know I was very, very hurt and disappointed and shocked when I found out that out a few years back, because he certainly did have such an integral and essential role in the leadership of the civil rights movement. But what I, the way I was able to handle that and resolve that for myself is that it ultimately, you know, it is God, only Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior himself, whom we should really be looking toward and heralding as our leader, as our, you know, ultimate ideal guide and director. And when we do that, that means we look at everyone else in the human light as, you know, people who God may have gifted or anointed in some capacity, but understand they cannot be seen as the ones that we believe to be perfect or flawless, or because no individual is that way. It's unfortunate and inexcusable that he was into that kind of activity. But just as, you know, David in the Bible and others, you know, the fact that they had their vices and their issues doesn't eradicate or minimize the impact, positive impact that, you know, they had in other areas, in the areas in which they were called to serve and lead. It just reminds us that we have to be so careful not to paint the picture of perfection around anybody but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. So let's look at some of these events that occurred with the civil rights movement. So the Freedom Rides started in the early 1960s. Nashville, Tennessee, where I went to college at Vanderbilt University, was definitely a city that was central to the Freedom Rides and to the desegregation of a lot of the public places, including the lunch counters. And then, of course, we know on August 28, 1963, over 250,000 people of all races gathered for the March on Washington at the Lincoln Memorial. And Dr. King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. And then, of course, we lead into the prior to that, there was the bus boycott in Montgomery in 1955. And in 1963, especially in Birmingham, the desegregation issue was very prominent. And, of course, that's when you had the dogs being unleashed on people. It was just a very, very brutal and uncivilized attack, just an appalling attack on these individuals. But Selma, again, was another march that brought together people from all over the nation, and people from all over the world witnessed this effort to legally and peacefully protest a great injustice that was occurring with the constitutional right to vote. So I just want to say, as we go into our last few minutes, I want to send out a call, an appeal, for Christian unity with some of our current matters and topics that are, you know, at the forefront. And one of them is this this endeavor that is taking place to basically exterminate the young black male population. We know of a number of incidents very recently where these young men have been unarmed, and, you know, whether they had completely squeaky clean records in terms of legally or, you know, involving any criminal activity really isn't the point, because you don't have to, you know, shoot somebody down to apprehend or to stop them from doing whatever it is you think they may be doing. But the lives of these young men have been taken unjustifiably, and the individuals who did so are using the guise of their status as law enforcement officials to basically get away, you know, with cold-blooded murder. And we had a forum, one of our churches here, Breath of Life, Seventh-day Adventist Church, with local police officials and those of us as concerned citizens who are really wanting to, you know, ensure this type of activity doesn't happen in Memphis. But I believe that if you're a Christian and if you have any kind of, you know, heart or feeling or regard for the situation, you really should, regardless as to your race or color or creed or ethnicity, because it is wrong. It is unfair. It's excessive. Even in an event where you do feel that there is a threat, it's still excessive to take an individual's life who is unarmed and not attacking you. But there has to be that value for that life. So the same way that we came together, those of us who were alive at that time, came together in the 60s to make sure that these wrongs were righted and that people did not continue to lose their lives in vain, is the same way I wish that we would do those things now, that we would have those convictions now, because I know that the Lord's favor and protection and guidance would be upon us. We don't have a leader today like Dr. King. Dr. King was Dr. King. He's deceased, you know, he's expired in the grave, and he's not coming back. But we still, as a people, I'm talking about a Christian people, we can still join together and we can proclaim and declare that we're going to stand for truth and righteousness and justice, because we do have a leader. Our leader is one who will never die. We don't have to worry about him getting murdered, shot down. We don't even have to worry about him, of course, ever transgressing the law of God in any way. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we just look to him, turn to him, pray to him, then he will dispense the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to go forward in making sure that justice does occur and that things change that need to change. So I do implore everybody, and I will be doing this myself this week, to just be in prayer about how we can come together, nominations, and across maybe other differences we have, to 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 eradicate and expunge some of these societal injustices. I thank you for joining me today, and I pray that you have a blessed rest of the MLK holiday. You may have some ceremonies and so forth that you're going to. Please enjoy, and I look forward to being back before you soon. God bless.